Michelle Darnell, and I am the wealthiest woman in America. How wealthy am I? I wanted to come down on a golden phoenix, and I sure as shit did it.
I run your operation.
While being a single mom,
I deserve a pay raise.
You have a child.
Yeah.
Was that through intercourse?
Yes.
I usually get kind of an asexual vibe.
I never pictured it with genitals myself.
You're under arrest for insider trading.
Michelle, don't struggle. Son of a bitch.
You're bankrupt. All your accounts have been frozen.
Claire, get me a new lawyer.
You don't have any money, you stupid ginger.
If she doesn't have anywhere to go, she should stay here.
Huh. Look at that. A bed and a sofa.
Careful, it's a bit temperamental.
It's not so bad. Oh, I think I've shattered my pelvis.
Michelle, you need to get off the couch.
Take Rachel to her dandelions meeting.
Our troop came in with $189,000.
Holy shit. I object to parolees attending our meetings.
If you don't get off my back, I'm going to shove a box of chocolate clusters up that tight ass of yours.
You know, trying to find a good Melissa McCarthy performance these days, well, I guess any time, though, it's like digging through a toilet full of shit, you know? You just keep searching and searching, you on your knees on that toilet, searching for minutes and minutes, until you realize, wow, I'm not going to find a damn thing in this, so I might as well just flush it, just like her fucking career. But who knows, you know, maybe the boss will have something new and endear for us or something like that. So let me go ahead and give a plot synopsis of the boss, because she's legit like that. So you got Melissa McCarthy playing Michelle Darnell, who's kind of like a Steve Jobs. I would even say more popular than Steve Jobs. She had a whole goddamn convention center. But if you want to flashback, she started off as an investment banker, if you will. They never really say it, but I can kind of tell just from the work she's doing. And that's really how she made her millions and things of dollars. They show a flashback of her as a kid constantly getting dropped back off at the orphanage that she was at because no family would put up with her, I guess. I don't know what it was. They never really said it. Just kept showing families dropping her off. So she grew up to learn an attachment to not really care for families and really much people in that. Fast forward to present day time. We see her coming down off a Gold Eagle. And she's talking about how, well, she ain't really telling people how to make money. She's just saying stop taking shit from people and just go out there and make whatever you want to make. You know, be in control of your life. And Peter Dinklage comes in at one point as a Ronald, who changes names to Renee when he becomes a Japanese, when he starts learning Japanese summer. And he pretty much says, hey, you know, you stole this deal from me. That was pretty much inside trading. You can't do that. So he pretty much, you know, gives a tips to the feds. Feds come and lock her ass away. She's got Kristen Bell in here. Retract that. The most beautiful and lovely of all women. Kristen Bell in here is Claire with her daughter Rachel, who played by Ella Anderson. And, you know, she plays her assistant, or her executive assistant, if you will, who pretty much just come tell Melissa McCarthy because she got to spend 4 months, which, by the way, that is a goddamn lie. You will spend a hell of a lot more longer than 4 months in prison from insider trading. Number two, this place she was at was no fucking prison. This was damn near a fucking summer camp getaway, if you will. And when she gets free, you know, Melissa McCarthy, she pretty much notices that they've seized all her assets. She's flat broke. Only person she can turn to is pretty much Claire. No, Claire's already at this point said, I'm kind of done with you already. I have a daughter and I need to make some money, put money on the table and stuff. And you kind of were the bitch to me anyway. So it's like, you wouldn't even give me a raise. So, excuse me. But, you know, Claire's got this new job. Shitty fucking boss, weird ass boss at that. Everybody in this movie acts kind of weird. And all of it is just set up from Melissa McCarthy to be this, oh, I'm going to ad-lib some jokes on you, where it's pretty much saying either I'm going to punch you in the mouth or you're a fucking weirdo or something like that. You know, it's made for her to look like she's the normal one. When in all real estates here, nobody really acts like nobody would in real life. And if Melissa McCarthy ever told me something like this, I'd be like, you fat cunt, if you don't get the fuck away from me right now. But either way, I digress. She finds Kristen Bell's apartment. Kristen Bell brings her in to, you know, give her the rest of her stuff that pretty much that wasn't seized by assets. Her daughter goes, "Mom, we can't kick her out. She has nowhere to stay. We can't let her live on the streets." Kristen Bell says, "Okay." I know I keep sounding like I'm saying Kristen Bell, but Kristen Bell says, "You know, you can stay here until you get your feet back on the ground. In the meantime, I need you to help pull your weight around here. I got to work double shift tonight, so take my daughter, take Rachel to her dandelions meeting, is where they pretty much sell like Girl Scout cookies and shit. And Ms. McCarthy, she gets an epiphany. It's going like, wow, so these girls make this much. We have dandelions in every state of the country, and they're making like, and this movie takes place in Chicago. I think, what was the state? No, this place in New York. In Chicago, they were saying, oh, they made like over almost a million? Or yeah, I think it was $1 million or something like that. And she starts saying, oh, wow, they can make this much, huh? Mr. McCarthy gets his ideas like, all right, your brownies are really good, Kristen Bell, Claire. So I'm going to go on my own business using your daughter pretty much to whore herself out there. I'm going to be her pimp. And we're going to get a bunch of girls from this girl's school and from this dandelion. We're going to steal their girls, too, as well. And we're going to share the money with them. This ain't non-profit. We're going to give them 10%. That way they can sell it and save it into a college fund. Kristen Bell likes the idea, but she says, I'll go part-time with it just to get you out of my house, but I won't devote full-time to it. So, next thing you know, they're making a killing. I still don't believe that you can make this much money off of selling brownies and whatever the fuck, cookies and shit like that, but whatever. They're making a shitload of money. Melissa McCarthy is like, quit your fucking job, please. I need you to devote your full-time attention to this. We're out of brownies, you know, and stuff like that. Kristen Bell says, I hate my job. And well, all right, fine, I'll devote full-time to it. She only goes along with it because she's saying, well, 10% of it goes in the girls' college fund, so yeah, I guess we are doing something good here, you know. So then, you know, the daughter starts getting attached to Melissa McCarthy's character because they kind of form like a little bond. But, you know, throughout the whole movie, Melissa McCarthy's kind of a fucking cunt. And I say that with a capitalized C-U-N-T. And she's playing a cunt throughout the whole film, so you don't know why anyone would like her. You'd be just like Kristen Bell. She's kind of fucking annoying. But, you know, Kristen Bell's like, oh, I'm a single parent, and I haven't had sex in about 6 years. I find that very fucking hard to believe. I really fucking do. To the point that she hasn't had sex in 6 years at the job she's working at. She, the regular ugliest, well, I ain't even gonna say ugly, he's fine, fat-looking dude hits on her, and he just kind of like, brother, you got no chance. Of the fact when she quit that job and said, yeah, I'll take you up on that offer, we can go on a date or whatever, when she said that, it was just like, you know, you can hear me pulling out the cologne already and shit, spraying my ass like, shit, that motherfucker got a chance, shit, let me get up in here. I think she's married, though. And like, that ain't gonna stop me. So whatever, I'll spray that cologne like a motherfucker. Like, yeah, I hope she comes out to give a Q&A now. Whatever, I got this. But, and so, you know, but, you know, at the, Liz McCarthy treats him to a dinner. And that's when the daughter, Rachel, kind of gets a little even more close. She's kind of like, I got this photo for you, you know. I really feel like we're a family now. And, you know, Liz McCarthy starts freaking out because, you know, she can't get attached to a family because, you know, of her childhood. But they never really bring that up in the movie anymore, which I don't even know why that would affect you now. It's like, whatever. So she kind of runs off doing stuff on her own. She moves out of Claire's house. She starts doing stuff on her own. You know, Claire is kind of like, why you ain't called me on none of these things? Melissa McCarthy and them have an argument. She walks out on the business. Next thing you know, she sells the brownie business to Peter Dinklage's character, trying to say, I don't really care about none of those girls anyway. This is a smart business decision. Next thing you know it, she gives, she feels bad about what she did. She goes to Claire, apologize, whatever, and the next day it becomes a heist fucking film where they try to steal the contract out of Peter Dinklage's offices to shred that shit into pieces, and then it becomes some samurai battle, which is the most embarrassing performance from Peter Dinklage I've ever seen. And then, you know, then there go your plot synopsis, whatever. Okay, let's talk about this movie. Now, let's talk about this director first. The director is her husband, which I don't know why, when I kept hearing about that, you know, because at our screener and stuff like that. I believe it was the producer that came. I don't remember who it was. I'm not gonna lie, I really wasn't paying attention. I was just looking because I ain't gonna lie. I was kind of playing around with this kid that was sitting next to me, or whatever. One of the critics brought their son in here and shit like that, and I was just asking him questions whenever the father, I guess it was his father, I don't know who it was or whatever, so he kept getting up to, either he went to the bathroom or something like that. And I was asking, I was like, why are you here? I said, your father tricked you to come here. He thought he was taking you to, like, Batman v Superman or something like that, huh? And he was just like, I just wanted to get out the house. I was like, yep, figured that. So, you know, me and this little kid kind of had a bonding because we knew what we were getting ourselves into here. And, I for the longest, I kept thinking that Paul Feig was her husband. I was just like, oh, wait, no, that's not her husband. They're just really good friends. Damn, I forgot that Ben Falcone is her husband, the one that did Tammy. That godforsaken piece of Jezebel ginger fucking loving cunt of a movie. Wow, I fucking couldn't stand it. Made my top five. I think it was my number two worst of the summer list that year came out. That movie was just fucking abysmal. And I noticed this with movies now that Paul Feig is not a part of. It seemed like Paul Feig is the only one that can direct her. And I mean direct her in a sense where she's not great, but she's passable. You know, in The Heat, I didn't like her, but I don't think it ever got to a point where I couldn't stand her. When Paul Feig's not attached to her, these directors, I'm talking about Tammy, Identity Theft, and The Boss, they make her to be the biggest fucking bitch in the world, where to the point where it's fucking annoying just how much she's a fucking cunt, that people actually still follow, want to be around her circle, and it annoys the shit out of me that somebody just don't tell her to fuck off. If I was Kristen Bell's movie, I would have been like, thank God you're on the streets, because you were a fucking cunt to work for, and I'm glad that I don't work for you anymore. Granted, I hate my job now, but I hated working for you just as much. How in the fuck can you be the 40th, and she says in the beginning of the film, you're the 40th richest woman in the world, and I'm living in this little ass apartment. Fuck you, cunt. So the fact that nobody never tells her that in the film pisses me off automatically. I'm already upset now. And it's one of those movies, like all Melissa McCarthy movies, that's not directed by Paul Feig. It seems like he knows not to do that. But in every other film that he don't direct, they always do the shit where she's the biggest cunt in the world. And at the end of the film, oh, she's just misunderstood. She has a heart. And I was like, no, fuck you. She is a bitch. Kick her. And women, I'm not saying this all about none of you or anything like that. But be fair on this. Melissa McCarthy's a bitch in this film. I'm sorry. Some of the shit she was just doing in this movie, I just found it to be downright, I thought I'd never say this, but it was just downright mean and atrocious. It's just like looking at her, it's like, who would like her? Nobody. Granted, she sticks up for the little girl in here and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, you could have did this peacefully and privately somewhere. Like, you could have waited till that other girl's mother stepped into another room and smashed her fucking head in the bathroom stall or something like that. You didn't have to do it in front of the kids. Don't let the kids see this. Don't do this. No, no. But either way, I digress. Let me get back now. Now, I love it because critics, some of them, mainly white people, white people love Melissa McCarthy. Older white people, too, at that. White women love Melissa McCarthy. They can't get enough of this fat bitch. And all you hear is laughing in this theater while I'm just sitting there going like, when the fuck is this movie over? It is long as shit. It's about 100 minutes long. I think, what is that, about an hour and 40 minutes or something like that? It's an hour and 40 minutes, and it just keeps dragging on and on. And on, and he just like, somebody get this bitch $1 million so we can just wrap this movie up, because we already know it's going to end with her getting a fortune back, and then everything just happily ever after, and her and Kristen Bell going to be the best of fucking friends or whatever, whatever. But the opening of the movie, oh my God, the movie just started, and I'm already going like, I think I'm about to go commit suicide now. I was talking to the kid, I was like, I think I'm about to go kill myself right now, so will you hold my seat for me? And the opening, people, is from the trailer. Her flying in on the gold statue and stuff while they play T-Pain music. I know, T-Pain music. All I do is win, 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 and that or what? And I was like, oh, God. And when she lands off that Phoenix she came in on, somebody gives her a microphone, and she starts rapping to the beat of this song. And it was the most cringeworthiest shit I've ever seen As far, oh, actually, I take that back. Think Like a Man 2 had that music video scene. So never mind, I take that back. It was one of the most cringeworthy scenes I've seen this year. Then there you go. I digress on that one. And then next, you know it, when she gets done rapping, T-Pain pops out like it's a big attract, man. And then everybody, I hear the thing go, ooh. And I was just like, none of y'all know who this Negro is. And then they just start doing a duet rap though over there. And I was just like, yeah, somebody get me the fuck out of this theater already, please. Somebody get me the fuck out of this theater. You know it's bad when the fucking kid, I don't know, I think he could have passed for about maybe 12, 13 or something like that. This kid was not fucking laughing at all. And I don't think he laughed. I think the only time he laughed is when he saw that big brawl you see in the trailer with all the kids and stuff like that. And he laughed because this girl got uppercutted and shit like that. Which, it's girl-on-girl action. No guys hit at a girl, so don't worry. He wasn't laughing at anything like that. He was laughing at the girl-on-girl violence. But no, I was already done with it. And then the very next fucking scene over, you got this one black dude in here who plays... I forgot the dude's name now. It's a Mexican stereotype name, Pedro or something like that, whatever. And he's like her bodyguard or whatever. He's just agreeing with her, everything she's saying, laughing at her joke. And then it's funny because I feel like I was like, in this whole segment, I was like, wow, I feel like he's like a laugh track telling the audience to laugh because he's staring straight at the camera as he's repeating what she says, and then he's just laughing his ass off, and nobody else in this theater is laughing right now at the moment, because it's a whole visual gag where she sticks this thing in her mouth, and her teeth are showing because she wants her teeth to be whitening, and she's talking through it, and it goes on and on, and you can tell a lot of this movie had a lot of goddamn ad-lib, because her husband just thinks Melissa McCarthy is the funniest bitch out there, whatever. Which, by the way, maybe she is, because you bastards at the MTV Awards want to vote to give her a Comedic Genius of the Year award. And it's just like, oh my God, stick my finger down my throat and throw up till I throw my liver and lungs up, please. Jesus Christ. And she is the white version of Kevin Hart to me, and it's getting kind of annoying. But this scene just went on for 6 minutes of her ad-libbing with her teeth shining like that and just talking where you can't understand a word. And then this black dude giggling going along with it, and I was just like, or the Spanish, or whatever the fuck he was, I don't know what he was. And Kristen Bell being the you know, I don't want to say fish out of water play, but being the straight guy, you know, the straight woman, if you will, stuff like that. And they're just looking at her like, oh, she's the weird one. It's like, ah. No, all you motherfuckers are the weird ones. And then there's a lot of fucking scenes where it's just pandering to the fact that Melissa McCarthy, oh, she could be raunchy because, you know, she could throw a fist up and tell people to go fuck yourself or something like that. It's just like, oh my God, can we get to a fucking point in this movie? And then, just when I thought the rap scene in the opening was the most embarrassing part of the film, this movie has to introduce the man... I was going to say legend, the myth, the overachiever, the accomplisher himself, Mr. Peter Dinklage in here. And I said, this has got to be the worst goddamn performance I've ever seen Peter Dinklage do. I actually was more embarrassed for him. I hated him in Pixels, but I was more embarrassed for him in this. I would rather watch him in Pixels again than watch him in this. He's not in this movie a lot. Matter of fact, he's probably in Pixels a little bit more. But the first scene he comes in on, where he's pretty much using a binocular to spy on Melissa McCarthy to tell her, hey, what, you stole my deal and stuff like that. It's infringement. And that whole scene, he is trying to play Ben Stiller in Zoolander so fucking hard. And then the rest of the movie, he's got his man bitch who treats him like a baby throughout the whole film. I mean, there's even a scene where he's just like, his man bitch is like helping him drink it out of his glass and stuff like that. And then Peter Dinklage says a line like, "Ooh, I'm feeling very exuberant right now. What I need to do is I can finish this glass on my own," or whatever. And then his man bitch tells him, "Ooh, you finished it all too. Good job," or whatever. And I was just like, "Oh my fucking God!" it was painful. I'm on season 4 right now of Game of Thrones, watching it. This was painful as shit. And I've seen Peter Dinklage do some terrible fucking film. Man, this is that Game of Thrones curse. You motherfuckers outside of Game of Thrones can't act for shit. I mean, you just can't act. And I want to say, Peter Dinklage, he's one of those dudes that, you know, you know, obviously, I don't know the term of what he is. I don't know if it's a dwarf or, I hate to say this word, but I guess that's what they go by, midget. I don't know which one he goes by. I think it's dwarf, if I'm mistaken. But he's one of those guys that is a dwarf or a midget that stood out above that. You, like, when you see him in a film, you don't never once think about his size or something. Not even just a film. When you see him on Game of Thrones, you don't think about his size. I think he's one of those actors that pushed above and beyond that. Just like, oh, look at that, that, you know, being a comedic actor. But now that he's doing these shitty-ass comedy films, they're starting to point these things out. And it's just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, man? You above this. And you achieved that through your recognition and your great drama work that you've done earlier in your career and what you're doing on GOT right now. For you to be in this shit is just insulting and demeaning on every standards. And I honestly thought he was the worst in here. And he's on a total of 4 times in the movie. Well, probably more towards the end and stuff like that. There's a scene, because him and Melissa McCarthy used to be dating back when they worked at a banking firm. And if you don't know banking firms or anything like that, people go watch The Big Short. It'll teach you all about it. And the first thing you see of him in this flashback is he starts doing cocaine. He's got the Lionel, not the Lionel Richie. What the hell am I thinking? Fuck it, I'll just go with it anyway. Lionel Richie, yeah, I'm just going to go with it. Little Richard, yeah, there we go. You got the Little Richard hair going on and shit like that. It's all over the place. And he's doing cocaine. And he's talking about, oh, God, baby. You know, when I become a partner or MD, oh, you know, I'm gonna buy you the world, baby. And they're making out. And it's the most disgusting fucking thing you've ever seen, because his tongue is sticking out. And it's just like, oh, dude, oh, please, fucking stop. I think I'm going to be sick. I remember looking at me, and that kid looked right at me, and I looked at him, and I was just like, I don't know if your dad cusses in front of you, but I think I'm going to be fucking sick right now. And, you know, this is where his hatred for Melissa McCarthy comes, because she ends up getting the promotion. And she pretty much says in this monologue here that I used you to get all your clients and stuff like that to get this promotion. And he's had it out for her for 25 years now, where he just wants to see her be in jail. Well, first he thought he wanted to see her in jail, but then towards the end of the movie he's just like, jail wasn't enough though. I need to see you die. And there's even a scene where, you know, at one point, you would think he was following her throughout the movie to make sure she doesn't succeed in anything. But that just gets dropped. And, you know, there's one point where he did follow her. He's just like, his man bitch was like, I got her falling on video. Check this out, because Melissa McCarthy's doing the same goddamn joke she's doing every goddamn movie, where she's falling on her ass and stuff like that. Because, oh, look at me, I'm the big fat. Now, I will say, she has lost a lot of fucking weight. A lot of weight. I give her kudos on that one and stuff like that. She must be part of that BBG girl community or whatever that Wayne is a part of. But either way, she's lost a lot of weight. You gotta give her a commence on that one and stuff like that. She just looked kind of weird as fuck in this movie, because she got this ugly ass turtleneck throughout the whole film and stuff. And these silk fucking velvet Versace looking robes and shit, looking like the goddamn Great Pumpkin or whatever on a goddamn Saturday morning. And yeah, because they're like orange and purple, some weird ass colors and shit. And he's looking, he's like, oh, let me see that bodacious body of hers, this beautiful thing. There's even a point in the fucking movie, people, and this is how you know Ben Falcone, this is how you know he's got a boner for his fucking wife. There is a point in the movie where, and you see it in the trailer, where she is talking about Kristen Bell's titties and stuff like that because of the bra she's wearing. And then they make a comparison to damn near say that Melissa McCarthy has better tits in this film than goddamn Kristen Bell. That scene was just the epitome of blasphemy in my damn eyes. I was just sitting there when Kristen Bell was like, she's like, well, what are they supposed to be like? Supposed to be like yours? She grabs, like, ooh, actually, these are really nice or whatever. Like, oh, wow. Wow, these are really nice. What? They should be down here, though. She's like, no, they should be up here. It's like, oh. And I'm just looking at that. It's like, you gotta be shitting me. Kristen Bell is the hottest thing walking in this goddamn movie. Probably in all the movies I've seen this year so far and stuff like that. She, that girl is beyond gorgeous. I don't give a damn of her. She got one left titty langin', limping down more so than the other right titty or whatever and shit like that. I would still hit the fuck out there. Whatever. Her, she could have no nipple on one of the damn titties. I'd be like, well, whatever. It's unique to me, I guess. Shit. Her fine ass, whatever. And then they got the audacity to sit up here talking about, look at her tits now. That's a real woman's tits. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Eat a dick. Timothy Simmons is in here, who plays Stefan, and he's the boyfriend and stuff like that. They do like this. There's more scenes with Peter Dinklage, and it gets kind of embarrassing when they break into the They break into the whole Peter Dinklage's area. He comes out, and then they have this overlong, exasperated fight scene with swords and shit, to the point where Melissa McCarthy falls on the ground, and Peter Dinklage, because he's small, you know, he puts his head buried in her crotch area or whatever, but like it's in a 69 position where she's on top. She's grabbing his ass saying, "Wow, it's so firm and tight and stuff like that." And he's just like smothering his face, and he's like, "Oh God." Oh, he's like, I want it. I was just like, oh, God, Peter, what are you doing? And, you know, they get on the rooftop, and he thinks he kills her by shoving her off the room, but she kind of just falls in a little area and shit like that. And then, you know, Kristen Bell knocks his ass down there as well. And next, you know, she sees that they're both alive. But then they start making out. He's like, oh, I just want to apologize for it. And they start, man, it was the fucking grossest thing. I was like, oh, it's like watching two old fucking people kiss in front of you or something like that. Or it's like watching an old-ass dude with a younger chick and shit, and they're making out in front of you. He's like, oh, dude, I think I'm going to be fucking sick. That vagina's been tainted now. And it was just like saying that. It's like, oh, fucking Game of Thrones been tainted now from this shit. I was embarrassed as fuck for Peter Dinklage. I don't even know how to put that. Like, that had been the most embarrassing performance I think I've seen. Like, I've seen worse, obviously, this year compared to him. But for him, I expect better out of him. I really fucking do. I put him on such a fucking pedestal. And then just watching this, it kind of just broke your heart a little bit, too. And, of course, the movie wraps up with, you know, like I said, Melissa McCarthy apologizing, and then they share the brownie company that's now got Kristen Bell this huge mansion now all of a sudden, which, by the way, is fucking unrealistic. And then next, you know, Melissa McCarthy, she tells him, it's like, you guys are like family to me. And then the movie wraps itself up, and he's just like, oh, the feels of a fuck you. I couldn't wait to get out of this fucking film. I remember the kid when his family got up, or his father got up, I'm sorry. He got up, they were leaving and stuff like that, because, you know, I think they were exhausted by that. He was leaving. He just kind of looked at me and was like, that sucked ass. And I was like, I know, right? People are saying, you a bad influence on kids, right? I was like, it sucked ass through a straw. Like one of them swirly straws, too. Like you give the kid and just spins around. It was like a trick and shit like that. It's like, oh, there you go. Yeah, this movie was painful as shit, man. I don't like Melissa McCarthy at all. They like, people really put her on a pedestal of being somewhat funnier than what she is, which she's not. She's not funny at all. And you can tell throughout this movie, they think she's really funny, because there's a lot of her scenes where you're just like, I don't think they wrote nothing for her. I say her husband, which I'm almost certain that she probably either produced or helped written or something like that, because they always work pair to pair, and she talks about how much she loves working with her husband, so, you know, fuck you, cunt, already. But she is just not funny. Her line delivery on these things is just terrible. She's always playing this mega cunt, and you just like, I don't know why nobody would like her. You finally got her down and out, and it's like, why the hell, why are you taking her in? Why? Is she, matter of fact, not only that, she's using your daughter to get her rich. It's like, are you just that bit of a moron or what? I just found, to be honest, it was just mean-spirited or whatever the term you want to use. I thought it was just mean-spirited to the point of just being mean-spirited because, oh, that's what Melissa McCarthy does. But then don't she always comes around and you just, you feel for her and you love her. It's just like, no, I still fucking hate her because... Yeah, sure, she helped them get money, but, you know, not through a bunch of fucking trials and tribulations. If not only that, if she would just listen to Kristen Bell in the first part of the fucking movie, they would have never been up in this problem. She gave her a raise, and they would have been living like they're already living at the end of this damn movie. And then they constantly say throughout the movie, I'm trying to make them strong, independent women when they get older. And it's just like, oh, God, ugh. Melissa McCarthy, you are the last person to be using that phrase with any kind of way. Like, you are definitely the last person to be doing that. And you know, it's cool. You know, you see a woman making billions of dollars, the 40th most powerful. I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot more powerful women out there than people think about. Just because they ain't on fucking TV, because that's how, you know, America goes by, who's strong and powerful these days? Oh, if they're behind a camera directing or something like that makes them. It's just like, you know, there's a lot, actually a millionaire, billionaire women out there. You don't never take time to do the research because your fucking mind is so strived. And, oh, if they're not in entertainment, then they're not important, right? You know, it's like, oh, fuck off. And for them to say that in this movie so many fucking times, I was just rolling my fucking eyes. Because I was like, we're never going to get a movie now with women involved without hearing that goddamn phrase. Which, more power to you, women. I ain't knocking you. But Jesus fucking Christ. Remember the old days when we had these actually, whatever the term, I don't even want to say it, the term that you guys use today in leading film, like Alien, we had Ripley, you know, Linda Hamilton and all them. Not once did they ever claim to be some strong female. I'm not even going to finish that line. Or in the movies, nobody ever fucking said that or anything like that. They were just regular ass characters. You never deciphered whether they were men or women. They were just characters. Because when you go to movies, you decide to get lost in fantasies, lost in worlds, lost in characters, and lost in adaptations and stuff like that. Not looking for fucking realism and shit like that, or who can I relate to and stuff like that, because you know, men, the arrogant bastards of men have been putting women down for so long, we just feel it's stride to put this in our movies. And I'm like, fuck off, please. Stop with that shit. It's getting annoying now. It's getting to a point now where I feel like I have to walk out when I hear that in films and shit like that, because it's like, you know, I see a woman here and I see she's doing badass shit. I don't need you to fucking point out strong, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there we go. This movie's a fuck it. I actually hated this movie. The more I think about it, that worst of list is, it's getting off to a really easy start this year. I didn't like, obviously, it's a Melissa McCarthy film. I didn't like nothing about it. I mean, this has nothing to, I wasn't going to say on Spy. Spy was a good film, but Melissa McCarthy was the one dragging that fucking film down. I would have loved to have someone actually that has talent to be in that film, because it probably would have been a much better film than what it was already. But in here, you can tell they're pandering on, like, as if this was an SNL skit that just drugged out its welcome just far too fucking long. And I got to give it a fuck it. I just do. Hated every aspect of this fucking film. I'm embarrassed for some of the people in this fucking film. I'm embarrassed that Melissa McCarthy is still allowed to make films. Like, her and her fucking shit porn star mustache wearing husband of hers, whatever. But hey, what would I know about comedy? I mean, they're giving her the Comedian of the Generation Award or whatever the fuck it's called. So I think she should take that award and stick it straight up her fucking fat ass, if you ask me. Or put it up that cunt of hers so it can make sure she never makes a fucking kid. Because Jesus Christ, if that bitch offsprings to a thing, I'm not even going to call it a person. If she gives a thing and that thing decides getting films, Jesus Christ, man. Independence Day. I don't want that to be a movie. I want that to be real life. You need to bomb that bitch then.
My way back, we are going to start a brownie empire and teach these girls real business skills. We want some good recruits. Get in there, go for the aggressive girls.
I feel kind of sweaty and scared.
It's just the coffee kicking in. Oh, you know what? Oh, I may have switched them. I put a little splash of bourbon in mine. My name is Michelle Darnell, and this is my partner, and I don't mean partner, like girl-on-girl stuff.
What's girl-on-girl stuff?
Something you're going to dabble with in college, but not stick with,
not,
you know?
Don't tell her.
Unless you're Hannah. I think that's gonna fit you like a glove.
Don't call it a comeback!
Okay, Crystal, what do we say if somebody doesn't want to buy?
Buy my brownies or I'll kill you.
Don't say that, Crystal.
Hey, this is where dandelions sell.
Bitch.
Just says, I give up.
You're making me feel very insecure right before my date. Don't.
If you could hear these sad basset hounds, they'd be saying, Claire, put us above.
That's not what
waist.
My boobs sound like.
Please don't set me up in your jeans.
Let me see this. Claire, it's like Geppetto.